So far, there are three of them. You got Bob Hale at the defense. Also, you have Steve Isaacowitz, who carried over from the Bush administration. And USDA, you know, has been nominated, I believe. I don't know if he has been confirmed yet. So other people are coming down the pipe, so to speak. But I think it's taking a long time. I think part of the reason is good news. At the cabinet level agencies, they have very good career deputy CFOs who are now serving as acting. So I think that there's no great pressure to go out and find a warm body and put them in slot immediately.
But the stimulus bill has given a lot of counting, transparency, reporting duties to agencies, and a lot of that's fallen on the financial staff. How do you think they're able to handle it without having a policy person at the top?
Well, I think that's part of the problem. I believe that this administration is similar to prior administrations where the policy decisions are made among presidential appointees, Senate confirmed appointees, and frequently the career folks are not in the loop in full circle with those things, and so they become taskmasters. The other aspect of that, too, with the TARP and also with the ARRA, most of the work now are compliance and systems. I don't think we have gotten to a point where is the money well spent. I think a year from now, things will be very different, and I think that hopefully by that time you would have the full complement of CFO on board.
And so when you say, you know, just the systems and getting things in place to become, you know, able to give the administration what it's looking for recovery.gov and some of the other websites, so what are you hearing back from? I know the Association of Government Accountants, which you're president of, has more than just a federal component. It's got state and local partners as well that are working on these issues. What are they saying?
I think that we have tremendous amount of need right now for state and local coordination with the federal government. This is an area that I think potentially can be very troublesome as all these money are flowing through the system. I believe that generally the 15 cabinet-level agencies are in fairly good shape in terms of controlling the money and making sure it's accounted for, scorekeeping. The area that we have not done very well as a federal government is the area of data attributes. I think OMB can tell you probably daily or weekly how much you spent, but there's not a whole lot of information in terms of how well spent and did it meet the intended, you know, target.
Yeah, the whole – go ahead.
Please go ahead.
I was going to say that whole issue of how well it's spent, that might bubble up to the surface just at the time the CFO political appointees are arriving, so they could be walking into a buzzsaw.
Yes, it depends on who are these candidates. Yeah, because the federal – having been a CFO twice at cabinet-level agencies – the CFO-ship at a federal agency is very different than a CFO-ship in a private sector. There's a huge political element, political with a big P and a small p. So that's one issue. The second issue is there's a lot of very peculiar accounting and financial management angles to within the government and also with the state and local government that a lot of private sector CFO may not have the experience. So I see some very interesting times ahead.
We're talking this morning to Sam Mock, president of the Association of Government Accountants, former chief financial officer at the U.S. Department of Labor. Interesting times ahead. Yep, I'd say that that's true. And given the level of demand from the Obama administration to agencies and the acting CFOs that you talked about that are working in government, do you think there is enough manpower there to get the job done? I mean, are they handling – I mean, this is a whole new wellspring of money in addition to their additional duties.
The answer is not necessarily enough people. This is first time in a long time that when more money are being spent of being pushed through the system, there are actually allocation for staff increase or resource increase. So that's the good news. The bad news is you just can't go out and call contactmonster.com and get 1,000 people in. In a federal government, that requires a lot of training experience. And as a matter of fact, if you have people in there who are not really experienced, it could cause greater damage, and you won't know about it when the until the inspector general shows up. So that, I think, is where a lot of acting CFOs are losing a lot of sleep over. I was in a meeting not too long ago, and one of the very distinguished acting CFO, who's a deputy CFO, made this interesting comment that there's a lot of pressure right now to get the money out the door. And, he supports that because it helps the economy. And so he wants to play ball and get the money out. But his question is, a year from now, when the inspector general shows up and says, you didn't cross this T, you didn't dot this I, why are you moving so fast? Who is there going to bail him out? I think that is on every acting CFO's mind.
And that probably should be on the mind of the people that might become the full CFO, because you've mentioned over the years, I think, too, that in the level of responsibility that the CFO gets varies from department to department, and not all departments give the CFO the full title responsibilities that they're supposed to have. So therefore, some CFOs may not have authority over something that they will be questioned on publicly.
Absolutely, a very good point, Tom. You got fantastic memory. And this is an issue that I think plaguing the CFO ship. CFO Act was passed in 1990, and 19 years later, I'm surprised that Congress had not conducted any hearing on the effectiveness of the implementation of CFO Act in 1990. If you look at 15 cabinet-level agencies, the implementation record is very widely. Some have very poor implementation. Others have actually done a very good job of implementation. And I think that also affects the selection of CFO, because many CFOs who really are smart, potential CFOs, look at the portfolio and say, this is not a CFO ship. This is really a head bookkeeper's job. Title is CFO. And then there are other CFOs who are just very much a senior policy official. A lot of it also has to do with a personal relationship with the cabinet secretary, in addition to the portfolio, because the secretary can change that with a stroke of pen. So that's why I think Congress needs to come in and take a look, and in hearings ask, what is your portfolio? If you don't have the full nine elements of the CFO Act responsibilities, why not? This is where I hope the U.S. Congress, the committees that confirm, will make sure that they raise it, because it's, at the end of the day, it affects the quality of the government.
You know, you're going to probably talk about that at the Professional Development Conference in New Orleans next week. So why do you think this conference, you told me as we were coming into the show, this segment for you, that this is going to be probably record-breaking attendance, you think?
Well, we don't want to discourage people by being complacent and say, well, so many people coming, I don't need to go. But we believe that so far we have more registrants than last year. Last year was a record-breaking attendance. Last year when we had the Professional Development Conference in Atlanta, we have over 2,000 attendees. This year, we're looking to match that, maybe a little even better. I think one of the reasons is we have a very good professional staff at the headquarters at AGA. They have the foresight, and also the planning committee, they have the foresight to focus the entire Professional Development Conference on the bailout TARP and ARRA. This is an area that everybody wants to find out more about, because the train is moving so fast that a lot of people, are basically bewildered. And so we have gathered some very dynamic speakers, and we have a lot of good sessions. So hopefully this will become one of the best, training seminars that in recent times on this subject.
And do the attendees include state and local financial people as well as the federal? Because it seems like that would be a great place to informally interact and find out what each side is doing, especially in this whole stimulus environment.
Absolutely, because most people do not know this, but the demographic membership, demographic for Association of Government Accountants, we are actually almost 50-50, maybe the state and local are even a little higher in number than federal. And we have quite a few sessions on intergovernment accounting between state and local. And also we are blessed because our executive director, Dr. Van Deniker, who hails from Kentucky, a college professor for 30 years in accounting, this is one of his mantra. His crusade is improve intergovernment accounting between state and local and the federal government. And so he has been basically pushing this subject very hard, and we have quite a few very good courses on that down at New Orleans next week.
Any good special events we should know about happening down there?
Well, we have quite a few good speakers, top speakers. We also have a lot of very good technical experts who come in. But we don't want it to be just all study and all work. So we have also arranged some of the very interesting after-hour events. For example, we have a very nice party reception one night. But it's not just all party. We also have quite a few of our corporate sponsors are also conducting what we call the charitable events. One particular company is doing charity fundraising for the poor. Another one is actually helping soliciting volunteers to help clean up a park. Association Government Accountant itself is asking the attendees to stay behind a little bit, maybe for half a day, to help with Habitat for Humanities to build houses for some of the people who lost their house during the Katrina. So we are doing a broad spectrum from work, fun, and good work.
And there's some award programs, too. Don't you have those as part
of it? Absolutely. We have an award program every lunchtime, but we have one award that we think is very, very deserving, and we're honored to be able to bestow the award, and we're going to give it to our very own Jane Norris,
wow,
who have been helping us promote good government together with Tom Timmons. But Jane has volunteered a lot of her time
yes,
and hours to help the AGA radio program called, you know, that Your Money and Your Government. And it's been very popular among the AGA members, and we appreciate, we thank Jane. And Jane is going to come down and accept the award. So.
I will be there. So yeah. I'm very excited to go.
You may see Jane with beads and on a float.
I don't think so. I know what you have to do to get those beads.
Well, if you email me that picture, we'll make sure it's at federalnewsradio.com.
Yeah, please put it on your website.
Thanks very much. Sam, and I'll see you in New Orleans.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Tom. Thank you, Jane, for having me here.